the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. When one thinks of Paulina Poroskova, you might remember her as the Sports Illustrated cover model back in the 1980s. Maybe you remember her as the wife of Cars frontman Rick Ocasek. Or, present day, you may be familiar with her through her very popular Instagram account. Well, now, Poroskova is revealing herself in a raw new book. It's called No Filter, The Good, The Bad, and The Beautiful. And we are lucky enough to have Paulina joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Well, hello, and thank you, Gemma. Happy to be here.
Well, so I was lucky enough to get a copy of your book, and I read it. And first off, it's a quick read, an easy read, which is always nice. But I think some people may not be aware that you're a writer. You've been writing and publishing for quite some time. You've written works of fiction. What made you decide to write this book? Because as I mentioned, I mean, it's raw, it is real, it's unfiltered. You know, what was it that made you decide, you know, I want to do this?
Well, actually, like many things in my life, this seemed to just be a perfect storm or a fortuitous occurrence. What happened was that I got a call out of the blue from Maria Shriver. And I was like, wait, is this a prank call? Why would Maria Shriver be calling me? Did I do something wrong? And it turned out that she was following me on Instagram, and she had just started her own imprint on Penguin Random House called The Open Field, where she wants to publish, 3 to 4 titles a year, books that will make a difference, will be positive, make the world a better place. And she asked me if I would be one of her first year's books. Wow. And she wanted me to write a book sort of like I write Instagram, about all the things that a woman faces when she has to start again, you know, in middle age, and all the topics that I've been dealing with on Instagram. And that really inspired me, as I thought, oh, I get to write in depth about the stuff that I have to keep to a certain length on Instagram. And so it seemed like a wonderful opportunity to try that. And then I went to the jungle, did a reality show in which I got no sleep, no food, and like insane physical hardships. Came back, could barely walk, because it's sort of my hip arthritis really kicked in after that show. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed a perfect opportunity to sit down and write a book in the 3 months that Maria wished that I could write the book in.
And you did it. And so let's talk about the book. I think there are moments in this book that I think resonate with so many people, women in particular. One of the things you write about in the book is meeting and marrying Rick Ocasek. He was quite a bit older than you. And you really went into a more, you know, I think traditional kind of marriage, motherhood, all of that, where you worked, you kind of just gave your paycheck over to your husband, and he was the person in charge of the finances and all of that. I think you even say in the book, like, you didn't really recognize how much money you were actually bringing in until we fast forward to kind of years later, when Rick's income started going away. And all of a sudden you had this realization that at many times in your life with Rick, you were the breadwinner. And this just hit me, because I think so many women of our age have fallen into that. And we've definitely seen that, I think, with previous generations, with our mothers and our grandmothers. What was that like for you to realize what you had been contributing all of these years, but frankly, not getting any recognition for it?
Well, you know what? The fact that I realized it was... I can't really tell you there's not much you can do with a realization, because you've already done it, that this was my life. But I did sort of come to understand that that was a very flawed way of existing, that, you know, because I assumed, you know, I was taking care of the household and the children and, you know, pretty much doing everything in the house. So I thought, you know, finances, that was the part that my husband did, or would do. And so I never questioned it. You know, it's like when you're in love, you trust your mate infinitely. You can't see that there would come one day when they will feel differently about you and perhaps even betray you. But yet it does happen everywhere. I see my friends going through similar situations. And I also, you know, it's like funny because I went into the marriage. I was 19 when we met, and we got married when I was 23. But I went into it, you know, from like, I'm a feminist. I'm a proud feminist. Mm-hmm. I was raised in Sweden, and I believe in women being equal to men, if not even, you know, perhaps a little better. And yes, I was making the same amount of money as my husband, and it all went into a joint pot. And, you know, it all seemed right until the children arrived. And then it suddenly was like, oh yeah, wait, the man babysits. Mm-hmm. I remember that being sort of a thing that first kind of took me aback, because I thought, wait, I thought we were in this 50-50. How come you get to babysit?
Right.
And then this like other little realization of, you know, that even when we made the same amount of money, his was breadwinning money, the important money, and mine was the trivial money, the silly little money that, you know, we could use for extra little perks. And it's funny because that is also something that plays out in a lot of other women's lives, that even if they do make money, their money's not really seen as a real contribution. It's just kind of a little perk, you know, like we're not taken seriously, even if we're making the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that is not how the world should work. Right. But yet it still did in my case.
And then in the book, what I wanted to get at is I think you do such a beautiful job about talking about aging. And this is something that I think in particular in our culture, it is daunting as a woman to age, right? Men just get, you know, better looking and they're more distinguished. Women get old. And in fact, you know, just the other day I was talking with one of my girlfriends and we were talking about, you know, this idea of do you get fillers? Do you get plastic surgery? Do you do these things? Or do you just, you know, at some point, do we have to just embrace the fact that we are aging? And you've written about this, you've talked about it on Instagram. Is that, especially within the industry that you came up in, what is that like to make the choices that you made to not do these things?
It's a daily struggle. And it's a daily struggle still today, because it's like I'm fighting a war with myself over, you know, whether to, you know, invisibility versus, you know, accepting yourself. And so it's not something that I've necessarily solved quite honestly, especially being a single woman who was also, you know, sort of restarting her life and restarting my life. Looking 57 seems to be a drawback in our youth obsessed culture. And wouldn't it be much easier for me to go and have my face smoothed out so that I could, you know, pass for 10 years younger? I suspect it would be a lot easier. But then I feel like what I would be giving up in return is this idea that there's something wrong with my face because I'm 57. Mm-hmm. When there isn't. I mean, we all know this, right? We know that we're not wrong to age, that this is a natural process of life. We all age. The unnatural part of this is that we get dismissed because of aging when we're women. Men don't really have to put up with that. And that somehow we're supposed to remain, you know, youthful looking forever, well, as though we were objects, when in fact we are nature. And like nature, ever changing. Mm. And so, my thought process on this is, I would like to, and I don't know that I can, quite honestly. But for the time being, I want to see if there's a way of making age more socially acceptable, like make be it, like if I'm proud of it and if I'm showcasing it and I'm putting it out there and going, I feel beautiful even though I look like a 57-year-old woman, can somebody else stand with me and feel the same way about themselves? And then maybe, you know, with representation, maybe we can start slowly shifting into seeing an older woman as beautiful, it just in a different way, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that isn't that one of these things that I find to be so frustrating about this is the alternative of aging is death, right? Yes. And so it is, aging is a gift that so many people don't get. And, mm-hmm. and the fact that then as women in particular, we are supposed to, within our culture, you know, try to remain youthful. And I think back on my own life and I'm like, I don't want to be 25 again. I don't mm-hmm. want to do that. I mean, I have lived, you know, a life. And I mean, what's interesting to me too, is I have two boys like you do, they're 14 and 11. And they always give me a hard time about, they're like, Mom, you're so old. You're so old. And I'm like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm old and I know more than you.
But, yeah, that's right. There's definite right? benefits of age.
Yes. And so I think that you are right that we're not going to shift at all in our culture if we as women aren't brave enough to say, you know what, beauty is not just on the outside.
But no, of course. Beauty, you know, it's like the whole character of a person. But the older you get, the more character you gain in your face of yes. the person you actually are. So shouldn't that be celebrated instead of erased? Mm-hmm. This is where you, again, we get the complete wrong information from society, which is like, no, we don't want character. We just want smooth, bouncy skin. and I personally find character in women so much more beautiful than sort of just the, you know, pretty blandness of youth, as attractive as it is and as, you know, shining as it is. It doesn't draw me in nearly as much as a woman who has lived and who has the signs of having lived on her face. And mm-hmm. so I feel like if I can see it that way, maybe other women can start seeing it that way too. And for that, we do need representation of beautiful older women who look older. And I absolutely understand an older woman who wants to, you know, roll back the clock 10 or 20 years, because actually we mm-hmm. can actually do that. It is actually now physically possible to do so. But then we are erasing the things we should be proud of. But it's hard right. to be proud of because society tells us that we can't be proud of it. It's like, it's
I know, right?
Yeah.
It really is. Well, and you know, it's one of those things where, as I was saying, when I was talking with some of my girlfriends the other day, I said, I'm on the fence. Like it's hard for me to think about doing something to my face because if they screw it up, it's irreversible and everybody can see it. But I refuse to go gray. Like and that is something that is vanity for me. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think mm-hmm. also maybe being honest about those certain things and no shame to women who choose to have work done. And I would say that I can't say that I wouldn't at some point, but
yeah,
it is that right? But it's that trying to be as authentic as possible about it. And what I appreciated about you and your book is the transparency of your struggles.
Well, you know what? I sometimes write the kind of things, well, that obviously the things that I think about, but that I wish that I would hear from other women, you know? And there mm-hmm. are some women out there, like when you curate your feed on social media, I wake up to a morning full of beautiful older women that inspire me. And so I wish to inspire them in the same way. To just be, because it's amazing that when you are confident, or even if you fake to be confident.
Right.
Even that works. That makes you sort of stand out and shine a little brighter. And then, you know, you get a little bit more attention. And that's all good, because that's what we want to do, right? It's for us to change the way people see us, not for us to change so that they can see us.
Right. Well, I thank you so much for taking time today to talk to us, but also for just being so honest in this book. It is so appreciated. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Emma, for reading it, and thank you for talking to me.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Paulina Poroskova about her new book. It is called No Filter, The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful. It is out now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.